And whenever you read in 1 Samuel chapter 30, you find the account of David and something that takes place that David was not expecting. And as we read the account of what's going on in David's life, we find out that David is just following God. He's doing what he knows to do. He's not operating in a sinful lifestyle. He has not done something to cause the door to be left open so the enemy could come in. But let's read starting with verse 1 in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. Would you look at somebody and say, that's not good? And had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept, until they had no power to weep. And David's two wives had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. How many know that's a bad place to be in? Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The original King James Version says that David encouraged himself. Everybody say, encouraged himself. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. Everybody say, pursue. For you shall surely overtake. Everybody say, overtake. Overtake them and without fail, recover all. Everybody yell, recover all. Now again, whenever you read this account, it's so interesting to note that David is just following after his heart. He's doing what he believes that he is supposed to be doing. He's actually helping another nation. He's actually helping another king. We could say it like this. David is doing unto others as he would want them to do unto him. How many of you have ever needed some help? How many of you have ever been willing to help somebody that needed some help? And that's basically what David is doing. There is no biblical indication that David was doing anything wrong. There is no biblical indication that David was living in sin. There's no biblical indication that David had left the door open in some area of his life. However, what we see happening is David faced some adversity. I want you to go ahead and write this down, because we all know that we are more than a conqueror. That's what the Bible says in Romans 8:37. But I want you to write this down. Being more than a conqueror does not guarantee the absence of adversity, but rather the assurance of victory in its presence. I'm gonna say that again. That's as a matter of fact, something that you might want to put on your refrigerator. As a matter of fact, it might be something you wanna hang up in your bedroom. Being more than a conqueror does not guarantee the absence of adversity, but rather the assurance of victory in its presence. You know, I don't know of any believer who has not faced some adversity within their lives. All of us at some time or another have faced adverse situations. Now understand this, I wanna go ahead and qualify what I'm talking about. I want you to realize that I do not want you to get into a place where you live with a persecution complex and you're believing for adversity. My friend, adversity will come without you believing God for it. That's just the facts of life. Things happen in life. We live in a fallen world. Now, the good news is this. Jesus came to redeem you from the curse of the law. He came to redeem you from the curse that took place as a result of Adam's fall. But understand this, that redemption does not take you out of a fallen world. How many of you have to work on a regular basis with some people that are not kind? How many of you have to work with some people that maybe you would like not to be working with? Maybe you have to deal with some situations and circumstances on a regular basis on the job that you would prefer that they were not there. Again, being more than a conqueror does not promise or assure you that there will be no adverse situation. What it does is assure you that in the midst of it, victory is coming on the other side. Hallelujah. What it does is assure you that in the name of Jesus, you can stand up and begin to declare, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, He always causes us to triumph. I want you to think about this, because it was the Apostle Paul who said that, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Why would he say, who always causes us to present tense triumph, if there were not some things that you had to triumph over? There are some things in life that all of us must triumph over. And this is what I have found. Adversity will do one of two things. It will either crush you or it will make you stronger. Absolutely. Or let me say it like this. It will cause you to be laying on the floor with adversity with its foot on your chest, declaring victory, or it will give you an opportunity to rise up in the midst of it and put on the strength of God, put on the armor of God, and rise up and say, no, in the name of Jesus, I am more than a conqueror, and I am arising out of the midst of this situation. And devil, you will not have the last word. As a matter of fact, God is the author and the finisher of my faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He said it at the beginning, and He will perform it at the end. You see, you've got to make a decision that I'm not going to allow adversity to crush me. If you're somebody who is given to the winds of change that are always blowing in the earth and in the world, my friend, you will be one that ends up being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and by everything that's going on in the society and the culture. My friend, hear this. Regardless of what may be taking place in the earth today, at the given hour that we're in, you can still stand up and say, I am more than a conqueror. Regardless of what your boss told you yesterday, you can still stand up and say, I am more than a conqueror. Regardless of what may have just happened in your family, you can still stand up and say, thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph. You can choose to do that, or you can get your violin out and start singing, tested and tried. Listen, a song of victory is much better to sing. That's one of the reasons whenever you come into this house, you're not going to hear songs that just try to pull some type of emotional response out of you. You're going to hear songs, and you're going to be singing songs of worship that declare our victory in Christ Jesus, that articulate the promise of God, that begin to say and declare what God has already spoken and said over our lives. Can everybody say amen? My Lord, we got too many songs circulating in the body of Christ that say absolutely nothing, that appeal to nothing but the emotional area of men and women. They may cause you to weep, they may cause you to cry, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with weeping or crying. As a matter of fact, this morning I was weeping. This morning there was something that was being touched. But understand this, it's not a result, hear how I'm saying this, it's not a result of something musically going on, it's a result of the Holy Spirit beginning to do something and touch something on the inside of me that's invoking me to do something rather than sit around and wallow in self-pity. Can I tell you, whenever you have a pity party, there's only two people that show up, you and the devil. That's the only people that show up for that, is you and the devil. You don't need another song to get you into a pity party. We need songs today that are going to cause a stirring to happen on the inside of us, that will cause us to rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost. Because hear this, whenever you're going through a situation, a sad song's not going to take you through on the other side of that situation. What's going to take you through that is we're overcomers. We've been redeemed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Songs that will begin to stir something on the inside of you more than some type of emotional feeling. Again, we got too many songs like that today. We need songs that'll stir the spirit of man, not pacify the emotions of man. We need songs that will actually appeal to the spirit man more so than the soul of man. And I'm telling you, I believe that's one of the things that God has called us to do, and that's the reason there are anointed songwriters that God has and is raising up within this congregation, because there are songs that are going to be birthed, that are going to go to the nations. Why? Because they need a sound that will stir up their spirit man to begin to rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost and say, I've got a mission. There's something that God has called me to do. There's a purpose that God has for my life, and it's not as wonderful as it is just sitting around with my hands in the air, living in the presence of God. Oh, that's wonderful and great. But hear this, there's something that God has for me to do in the community. There's something that God has for you to do with those you work with. My friend, there is a call of God upon your life. There's something for you to do. Amen? You know, some of you this morning really need to be shouting about this, because I know that some of you have been going through some situations. I know that there's some of you who have been in a moment of adversity. But I have good news. Listen, good news is this. You're going to make it. You're going to go to the other side, and you will see victory. You know why you're going to see victory? Because God said that you're the head and not the tail. You know why you're going to see victory? Because God's already declared the end from the beginning. You know what? God doesn't, he's sketchy on details. He doesn't tell you everything that's going to happen in between, but he does tell you this is where you're at right now, but this is where you're going. And so what I've got to do is I've got to cause my eyes to be focused on where I'm going, what God said. I can't get caught up in all the stuff that's in the middle, because if I get caught up in that, it will cause me to be paralyzed and I will not move forward. So I've got to keep my eyes on the prize. I've got to keep my eyes on the promise. I've got to keep a good confession, keep declaring what God said, even whenever things in the natural are contrary to what God has actually said. Are y'all getting anything out of this? You know, in this story about David, what you actually see, there are two different responses. David's men have an emotional, ruled reaction. An emotionally ruled reaction. Let me just say this. It is important, if you're going to walk by faith and if you're going to live in the spirit, that you have your emotions ruled by your spirit man. You cannot allow your emotions to be here and then your spirit to be down here. You've got to be spirit ruled, spirit led, and that which you do, you are not doing based upon some type of emotional reaction. David's men had an emotional reaction. Their emotional reaction was this. First of all, they began to weep. First of all, they were very sorrowful. First of all, they were totally engulfed with the pain of the loss that they had just experienced. You know what? And I can understand to a certain degree their emotional breakdown at that moment in time. But you have to understand, David experienced the exact same thing that his men experienced. However, hear this, David's response was different than the response of his men. His men, as a result of their sorrow, as a result of their grieving, what they said is this: let's kill David. Let's kill David. I don't know about you, but as I've read the story, I found out that David wasn't actually the one that was responsible for this. David didn't send out a courier to the Amalekites letting them know, we're going to vacate the camp and we're gonna leave our wives and our stuff behind. So if you would like to come and get our wives and our children and all of our stuff, then just go ahead and come on in. I mean, that's not what David did. Look at somebody and say, that's not what David did. David's following God. All the men are following David. David's doing what's right in the sight of the Lord. All the men are doing what's right in the sight of the Lord. There's a tragic happening that takes place, a tragic event that takes place. And then the first thing that they want to do then is point their finger at David, the man who is leading, and saying, it must be his fault. David, it's your fault that this is happening. David, it's because of you that this has taken place within our lives. It's amazing to me how that in the midst of situations, in the midst of adverse circumstances, we as human beings, we always are seeking for somebody that we can pin our situation and what we're experiencing. We want to pin it on somebody. In other words, somebody has to be the reason that I am experiencing this negative situation right now. Somebody has to be the reason, and I've got to blame somebody. I want everybody to hear this. One of the greatest lessons that you will ever learn is stop pointing the finger. In the midst of a situation, sometimes you've got to shut off human reasoning, you've got to shut off human emotion, and you've got to get back to the Word of God and say, God, I don't understand why, I don't have all the answers, but Lord, this is what I know. I know that your Word is true, it is forever settled in heaven. God is not a man that he would lie, nor the Son of Man that he would repent, and if he said it, he will make it good. I choose to believe what you said about me. Listen, if you're responding or reacting emotionally, that is not the course of action that you will follow. And you lose precious time and you lose ground whenever you begin to respond or react emotionally. And so here the men, they're wanting to stone David. David didn't have anything to do with it, but yet they want to blame David. David must be the problem. I will tell you, immature people will always look for somebody to blame. It is the way that the flesh operates. It is the way that the human mind operates. I got to have somebody to blame. I want everybody to hear this. And this is not a political statement, so I hope you hear it in the heart and the spirit of which I am saying it. But the reality is, folks, at the end of the day, we can't necessarily even be pointing our fingers at political leaders, whether they're Republican, Democrat, or whatever they are, and saying they're the reason that we're in the mess that we're in. You know what? At some point in time, we have to say, Lord, we're going to begin to pray. We're going to believe you. Lord, you said that, you know, if we would begin to pray, if we would humble ourselves and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, that you would hear from heaven and you would heal our land. Because listen, whenever we're pointing the finger here and there and everywhere, understand this, nothing is getting done at that moment in time. I'm just going to be real honest and transparent with you. There have been times that I was, you know, get real vocal about certain things, and I'm not saying that something shouldn't be said about certain things, so please don't misunderstand what I am saying. But I will say this, the Lord began to rebuke me and began to speak to me. He said, do you realize what would actually take place if you took the time that you're criticizing and you actually begin to pray? Well, thank you for that overwhelming response. Anybody can be a critic. It takes a man or woman of God to actually get on their knees and say, you know what I'm gonna start doing? I'm gonna start praying and doing something about this situation. Rather than sitting in the seat of the scornful, I'm going to rise up in the name of Jesus and believe God for better. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to rise up and begin to do something about the situation. It's really easy to criticize political figures whenever you're somebody, you're not willing to get involved in the process. You know what? We got to get involved in the process. If we want to see things changed in our nation, by the way, it has to start in the community that we're living in right now. A lot of times what's happened is we, the church, we focused attention, and again, not saying that we shouldn't pray, or because I just said something the total opposite of that. We need to pray, but we focused a lot on what's going on in Washington, and then there's things going on in our community that we've ignored and we haven't gotten involved in. Don't you think it would be a wise thing if we just started inserting ourselves into the community and doing something? If that's where change must start, it must start at the grassroots. Well, praise God. Does everybody understand? That's not a political statement. Understand, that is not a political statement. I'm not making that as a political statement. I'm saying that as a lot of times what's happening is we're using, you know, we're taking our finger out and beginning to point our finger. The reason that I'm in the situation that I'm in right now is because of that individual over there. The reason I'm experiencing the adversity that I'm experiencing right now is because of that individual over there. You're wasting time. you're wasting your breath. You're just wasting your time, because that doesn't produce change. That doesn't get you out of the mess that you might be in at a present given moment. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Here, David's men, they're being emotionally ruled. They're reacting emotionally. They're saying, let's kill David. Let's get rid of David. All of our problems will cease if we just get rid of David. Again, it's always amazing to me, also, the people that point the finger the most are usually blaming the wrong individual. David, on the other hand, had a spiritual response. He had a right response. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself. Everybody say encouraged himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord. My friend, whenever you're in a situation and you're going through something, you've got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Now, it's wonderful to have brothers and sisters that love you. It's wonderful to have church family that will help encourage you. But hear this, your church family isn't going to be there at 1 o'clock in the morning. Your church family won't necessarily be there whenever you are on your job. The church family won't necessarily be there at 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning whenever you wake up. My friend, you've got to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. And you've got to say, you know what, regardless of what may be happening around me, though 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, it will not come near me. I choose to believe what God has said about me, and I'm going to rise up and begin to encourage myself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Again, anybody can have a pity party. Look, I've had them. And you know what? The only thing it does is make you feel worse. The only thing that a pity party does is make you point the finger the more. The only thing a pity party does is cause you to go into a greater place of despondency and despair. My friend, what I'm sharing with you today will get you up out of that in the midst of the situation, and you will begin to triumph in Christ Jesus. Look, I know people throughout this church body who went through all sorts of things, and I've seen how that they have used the Word of God, they've used the promise of God, they've begun to praise and worship God, and they've come out of that place of despair. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. The first thing that you've got to do to encourage yourself is this: start praising God. Start praising God. You're not praising God for the situation, you're praising God in the midst of the situation. You cannot allow the devil to steal your joy. You can't allow the enemy to steal your song. You can't allow the enemy to begin to rob you of that right position and right disposition of mind as a result of the thing that is taking place at the present time. David said, bring me an ephod. The ephod was a priestly garment. The Bible says that we are a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. In other words, you as a believer, you are a priest. And one of the things as a priest that you are supposed to do is show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We read over in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 how that at the dedication of Solomon's temple, how all the priests, they came out in their garments and they began to worship and they began to praise and they began to sing unto the Lord. My friend, hear this. I believe the first thing that David did whenever he put on that ephod, understand this, is I believe that he began to praise and worship the Lord, because he knew, I've got to begin to create a different atmosphere. Do you realize that praise and worship will create a different atmosphere in your home? Do you realize it'll create a different atmosphere wherever you're at? The Bible says in Psalm 8, verse 2, that God's ordained praise because of our enemies to silence the foe and to steal the avenger. And when things begin to happen within our lives that are adverse, what happens is all the imps of hell, it seems like they all of a sudden are on our shoulders shouting and saying all kind of things. You know what you've got to do? You've got to begin to silence those things. How do you silence them things? You start dancing, you start rejoicing, you start lifting your hands, and you begin to offer up the sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of your lips giving thanks unto his name. That's how you begin to silence the enemy. You have the ability in the spirit to gag the devil. You have the ability in the spirit to gag the lies of hell. You have the ability in the spirit to actually cause the devil to have to shut up and leave. It's amazing to me. We've been given all this power and all this authority, but how many Christians so few times actually use what we've been given? Listen, my friend, it's easy to come and praise God in this environment. It's kind of like when all the music starts going on, who can't praise God in that? As a matter of fact, if you can't praise God in that, you just need to be resurrected. You need the breath of God breathed into you. But see, the question isn't, can you praise the Lord on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night when all the music is up here and we're all shouting and everybody's rejoicing? That's not really the question. The question is, are you able to worship God on Monday morning? Are you able to worship God on Tuesday evening? Can you worship the Lord on Thursday at noontime? Because listen, that's what's going to get you through those situations and circumstances. You begin to praise and worship not as an event. You do it as a lifestyle. In other words, I live a lifestyle of praise. Every morning I get up, thank you, Lord, this is the day that you have made. I'm going to rejoice, woo, and be glad in it. I'm not going to be sad about it. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to be downtrodden, hallelujah. I'm going to rejoice in the day that you have given me. You know, think about this. Every day that you get up and you're breathing, you ought to rejoice. You're alive. Well, you don't understand. I wish I was dead. No, you don't. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You need to be thankful that there's breath in your body. Get a different perspective. Get a different attitude. This is one more day that I have to express the victory that I have in Christ Jesus. This is one more day that I have to crush the head of the enemy. This is one more day that I have to witness to somebody. This is one more day that I have the opportunity to reach out to somebody and be a blessing to them. Let me say it also like this. Get outside of yourself and begin to think about somebody else other than yourself. David realized that he would have to praise his way through the adversity. Again, praise will silence the enemy. Think about this. The Bible says that Jonah, it says that he praised and worshiped the Lord while he was in the belly of the whale. This is what Jonah said. He said this, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. He said that while he was in the whale's belly. Which actually, whenever you really study, you actually find that Jonah went to hell. And I'm not here to try to theologically prove that to you. But when you actually begin to study it out, let me just say it like this. Jonah was not roasting hot dogs in the whale's belly. He was not having a cookout. I remember I had a children's Bible growing up. I don't know if anybody else had this children's Bible, but it actually had a picture of Jonah in the whale's belly. And you could see ribs of the whale, and Jonah's got a campfire going on down there in the belly of the whale. Just so that you know, that was not what was going on. Jonah was not on the first submarine ride. He was not on the first ocean cruise. My friend, hear this. Jonah died. And the Bible says that Jonah, in the state that he was in, he began to get this. He began to offer up to the Lord with the voice of thanksgiving. In other words, Jonah began to give God praise while he was in the middle of the belly of a whale. Listen, if Jonah can begin to praise God in the middle of a whale's belly, then I think you can find some way in the midst of your situation to get your praise on. I think it's actually possible that you could actually find something to praise and worship the Lord about. You're not dead, you're alive. Lord, I thank you that there's breath in my body. I just thank you, Lord, that I have a family. I thank you, Lord. I just thank you, God, that I took another breath, hallelujah. And whenever you run out of things that you feel like you cannot, you have nothing else to be thankful for, just begin to thank God once again, Lord, I thank you that I have yet another breath. There's always something for us to be thankful about. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're at. There is always something to be thankful for. The second thing that he did was this. It says that he began to inquire of the Lord. Everybody say, inquire of the Lord. This is the second thing that you need to do. I'm talking about encouraging yourself. The second thing that you need to do is this: rehearse what God said about you. Get God's word on the matter. You've got to begin to war a good warfare with the word of the Lord. I've shared this testimony so many times about our daughter Kayla and how that Stacy went to the doctor whenever she first got pregnant with her. The doctors told Stacy that she had a blighted ovum, that she needed to have a DNC procedure. She called me up at the office and I said, we're not gonna do that. We've already gotten several prophetic words. As a matter of fact, just last month, the prophetic word was spoken over our lives that we would have a daughter who would be a dancer in the house of the Lord. 2 or 3 weeks previously, we had had several different words about having another baby, and these were not things that we had asked. The testimony is rather long, so I won't go into the entire detail of it. But we had gotten several different words about how that we were going to have another baby. And I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stand on what God said. We got a pre-diagnosis before this even happened. I said, God was arming us for something that he knew was coming down the road. He was equipping us for adversity that was going to be facing us. But the thing is, we know that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We know that God's word is forever settled in heaven. We know that what God said, he will definitely perform, because he's not a man that he would lie. And I would lay my hands upon her stomach and I would say, in the name of Jesus, you will live and not die. We were speaking to Kayla at that time. In the name of Jesus, you will live and not die. Listen, you know what? We could have gotten out the sad songs, gotten depressed, all of a sudden got the violin out, begun to weep and cry. But you know what? We chose to do something different than that. Lord, you said it, you will perform it. You will live and not die. You will live and not die. We kept saying that, you will live and not die. About a month later or so, 6 weeks later, she went back after the doctor had done his original diagnosis, taken pictures of it, actually seen where there was like a sac in the uterus, but yet there was no life. It was the evidence of life that once existed. The doctor examined her again, and next thing you know, he's jumping back because there's a heartbeat that's beating there. That was April. Kayla was born in December, December 6th of that year. My friend, there are times that you got to get the word of the Lord. You got to get your promises out, and you got to begin to take your arrows and strike them on the ground in the midst of adverse situations. You don't give up. You don't throw in the towel. You say, let God be true and every man a liar. I choose today to believe what God has said about me. I'm going to take the promise of God. I'm going to take what God has declared, and I'm going to see the fulfillment of everything that God said. Can everybody say amen? You got to rehearse what God said about you. That's what David was doing. He knew that he had to encourage himself. He knew that he had to promote a different response than what was going on with the people. He was not moved by human emotion. He let his spirit take the ascendancy. Understand this, there's nothing wrong with human emotion. You just can't let it rule you. If you're emotionally ruled, you will live in defeat. I'll say that again. If you are emotionally ruled, you'll live in defeat. It's not because that's what God wants for you, but it's because you cannot live in victory being emotionally ruled at the same time. In times of adversity, you cannot trust your emotions nor that of others. Other people will even lead you in the wrong direction if you allow yourself to be led by your emotion. Understand this, the word of God must be the anchor for your soul. The word of God is the only thing that will give you stability in unstable situations. And I will tell you, there's a lot of instability in the nation today. There's a lot of instability in the world. And you've got to let the word of God be the anchor for your soul. Can everybody say amen? Amen. I want to close by saying this. When things happen that you don't understand, don't let your mind go to the land of why. Instead, start rehearsing what you know to be true. If you want to encourage yourself in the Lord, two of the primary things that you've got to do, number one, is you start praising God, and number two, you start rehearsing what God said about you. And I will tell you, you will see yourself come out on the other side, and you will see victory established within your life. You cannot trust in your own emotions, in your own reasoning. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. Your own understanding will lead you in the wrong direction. And you've got to make a choice. Lord, I'm going to trust in you. Trusting in the Lord means that you're going to trust what he said. Trusting in the Lord means that you're going to believe what he said about you. And you begin to rehearse what God said. Well, how do you do that? You take all the promises of God and you begin to articulate those. You take all the promises of God and you begin to say those. Again, I've watched those within this church. This is a very simple process. It's not real complicated. But again, as I've said before, most people today, most believers today don't miss it in complex areas. It's not because they don't have all the revelation of the book of Revelation that they somehow miss it. They always miss it in the simple things. This is very simple. If you want to encourage yourself in the Lord in the midst of an adverse situation, number one, start praising God. Number two, you start rehearsing what God said about you. You take the promises of God, you begin to speak them out of your mouth. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and you're going to eat the fruit thereof. In other words, whatever you begin to talk about and whatever you begin to articulate is what you're going to begin to experience. You will eat the fruit of your tongue. You will partake of the fruit of your tongue. So you have to make sure that you allow the Lord to put a guard over your mouth and say, Lord, I don't want any corrupt communication to come out of my mouth, but only that which is the good, which will be used for edifying. And by the way, not just edifying of others, but edifying of myself. A lot of times we've used that scripture as it relates to edifying other people. But my friend, understand this. One of the persons that has to be edified is you. And you've got to make sure that you're speaking the right things if you want to live in a place where you're being edified and built up. How many this morning are saying, I'm not going to allow myself to have an emotional response in the midst of adverse situations. I'm going to allow myself to be ruled by the word of the Lord, and I'm going to begin to praise God even in the midst of whatever is going on. Amen? In everything, rejoice. In everything, give thanks. You're not giving thanks for it, but in the midst of everything, you give thanks. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands in the presence of the Lord right now. Come on, just pray with me. Father God, I just declare in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that every person within this church body, Lord God, that regardless of situations or circumstances, that they will recover all. I declare in the name of Jesus that they will recover all. Lord, in their family, I declare that they will recover all. In their finances, I declare they will recover all. In every area of their life, I declare they will recover all. That anything that the enemy or anybody else has meant in a way of evil toward us, Lord God, that you will turn it around and you'll work it for good. That, Father God, you will come down in the midst of situation. And, Father God, that you will cause things to be turned around today in the name of Jesus. We give you glory and we give you praise.